Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, it is the Tiki and Tierney Show. What's going on, everybody? What's good? So, Teek, I heard something today driving in on the Boomer and Geo show, the highly rated number one Boomer and Geo show, and it came from a caller. So, you could try to maybe try to parse this and not give proper credit. No, we're in the business of giving credit. I did not even think about this. I don't know the caller's name. Boomer and Geo kind of sloughed it off kind of quickly. I want to throw this at you. All right, before we get back to this Judge stuff, and it could be a big day for the Yankees or an awful day for the Yankees. I think many of us think either today, tomorrow, Judge is going to sign somewhere, hopefully here. All right, so.
Because tomorrow's the last day, right?
Okay. Yes, winter meetings end tomorrow in San Diego. Yes.
Yep, good.
So, Robert Saleh spoke yesterday, and again, in his own way is at least verbally keeping the door slightly ajar for Zach Wilson.
Why?
Nobody believes him. He's just saying what he's got to say, and it's Mike White's gig. We all know that, right? But how about this? And this is what the caller brought up. Now, he had a little idea, and I'm going to kind of take it in a little bit of a different direction, add to it. So, the one thing Mike White does not have is quickness, like athleticism burst, right? So, and I know that he said that Zach Wilson will not be active this week again, which I find interesting, but whatever.
I did see that.
Why not come up with a sub package where...
With Zach?
Yes. Where when you get like first and goal from the three, maybe you have a deeper playbook and you just kind of trot Mike White out for a moment. Well, or you have them both out there. But for that to happen, Zach's got to be active.
Yeah, but do you trust his decision making in the tight red area? Because that
he's had a couple rushing touchdowns.
He has,
as a bro.
He definitely has. And he's an athlete.
Yeah, yeah.
But like running as a runner. I don't say as a running back, but as a runner. Like Lamar Jackson is a runner. Josh Allen is a runner. Daniel Jones is a runner. I'm not saying they're running backs because they don't know how to take hits really, but they're runners, right? It takes a certain level of like awareness and toughness that I don't know if Zach has. And the last thing you want to do is put him in a position where he's going to, fake it.
Yeah.
And
fumble.
And fumble, get
that's
hurt.
That's what Boomer said. Can you imagine? That would just destroy the kid.
Get hurt,
imagine
whatever.
Imagine he puts one on the carpet.
I know.
Jets are down, three in Buffalo. They're inside the tight red, the five.
Yeah,
and they give it to him, and he puts it on the turf, and they lose. Oh,
I just don't know if I would trust that.
Yeah, probably not. It's a little wacky, but I was thinking.
It is interesting, though. It is interesting.
I want to add to the offense here because, without Breece Hall, even though Bam has been very good, Michael Carter's ankle's jacked up, and we know maybe he plays this week, whatever. But, if you're looking to diversify things, add a little more explosion, 1 out of 6 in the red zone, I don't know.
It's funny.
About it.
You know what's funny? We thought we would see more Taysom Hills in the NFL. Because he scored a touchdown last night for the Saints in what was one of the most ugly games
that
I've seen.
That game was atrocious.
I turned it off.
It was just atrocious.
I turned it off. After Brady threw the interception in the second quarter, I turned it off. But we thought that we would see more of those type of players, right? Just the guy who's a hybrid, can do whatever, run, catch the ball out of the backfield, play quarterback if you need him. He started six games in the last couple of years. It just hasn't happened. I think you can't waste the waste the roster spot.
That's what it comes down to.
Exactly. Unless he's really diverse, like he really knows how to run, or he really knows how to catch, and really knows how to block, and but also really knows how to be a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Taysom Hill might be one of one in that regard, because I don't see many of those kind of guys coming out anymore.
No. I mean, Jets had that with Brad Smith back in the day. Mm-hmm. Remember him from Missouri?
Yeah.
He was pretty good.
He was
like
a perfect example of it. He was one. I mean, yep. he was actually the first.
Well, I think the Dolphins started with the Wildcat, and then the Jets had their own version.
But that was a running back.
That's true.
It never was an actual quarterback. And the problem is that in college, teams are going so much spread and so much air raid that – you don't get that, like...
Wouldn't Antoine Randle-El have been the first, though, because he was quarterback at Indiana?
Yeah, but did he do it in the league?
He played a little bit of everything.
I don't remember if he did it.
I'd have to check his snap.
You're probably right.
I feel like he did a little bit of that.
But that type of quarterback, like the Tim Tebow type, like the Taysom, those guys aren't really prevalent anymore in college football. Some, you know, you see them every now and then. Like the kid from TCU, Dugan, whatever his name is.
I think it's Dugan, yeah.
Dugan, that kid could do it all.
Imagine being so they just announced the four Heisman finalists. Imagine being 25, 26 years old and being in college.
Yeah, Stetson Bennett. He's in college.
Six years.
He's the same age as Lamar.
Yeah, I saw that.
Lamar's been in the league for 5 years.
And he's got an MVP. Although, let's face it, Lamar kind of butchered that contract a little bit.
He should have. I'm not even. Whatever.
We've got Julian Love Tea coming up in about 20 minutes or so. All in at noon. Guy thing, not a guy thing as well. The judge stuff is on the table. 877-337-6666. How about Big Bob in Smithtown? Bobby. What's up,
Bob?
Tiki, BT. It's been a little while.
Yeah, man.
Always a pleasure listening to Tease every day. Truly love you guys.
Appreciate it.
You do a fabulous job.
Thank you.
And if I don't talk to you before, Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Not the first one. Merry Christmas. I love it.
The first one, Bob.
You too, buddy.
appreciate it.
I admit I'm a nobody, a retired postal worker, because you guys are somebody, especially like a Tiki and a Boomer being pro athletes. But to me, this is such a simple thing, and it's such a no-brainer. I think there's a zero chance that they're going to sign Judge.
Zero.
Like I said to you a few months ago,
Wow. They're
going to let themselves be outbid. And the loyalty of players, and I love Judge, and I hope I'm completely wrong. I'm a lifelong Yankee fan, 67 years old, going back to last place days in 66. And I think I said that to you in the past.
Yeah, we remember. I'm so confident. Yeah, yeah.
And I don't mean this as being a smartass or trying to schmooze you in any way. They sign him and be gentle, but I'll take you guys out for dinner.
Yeah.
My treat and your way you want to go.
Oh, I like
and
it.
I know that won't happen. And I don't mean not being a smartass, like I said.
Yeah, no,
I
not taking that way at all, Bob.
Yeah. I mean,
he's going out west where his family is.
But do you want him, Bob? Do you want him as a Yankee fan?
Of course
you want
he wants
him. Oh, definitely.
Yeah,
definitely.
You just don't think the Yankees are going to do it.
No, they're not going to be spending the money. They haven't done it for years. I said it to you guys a few months back, you know, that they're going to let themselves be outbid. There's no way they're in the same frame of mind that they were years ago.
No, well, that's true.
Verlander,
that's true.
Verlander and what's his name to the Phillies?
Turner,
and
Trey
they
Turner.
They give Cashman a 4-year extension. Yeah. I've wanted Cashman out for years.
Oh, don't forget, IKF got 1 year for $6 million.
Oh, he did.
Yes. Yanks have been very active. Yes.
That makes me even more disgusted. I've never been this disgusted as a Yankee fan. Like I said, I'm not a '90s. You know, spoiled.
No, I got you.
I go back to the '60s when I was playing all sports. 11, 12 years old, watching Mickey Mantle play pretty much his whole career, especially at that and as a cripple. Going to the original Yankee Stadium with 5,000-6,000 people in the stands.
Yeah.
I know I said that to you months ago. But I'll let you just go. I know you got other calls.
Yeah, man. Appreciate you, Bob.
I haven't talked to you for a while. I truly love you guys, and you bring me pleasure every single day that I listen to you. I think you are such classy. And BT, let me say this, all due respect to Tiki. Personally, as physically speaking to somebody in my little life, you probably are the most incredible, you know, distinguished personality that I've ever spoken to.
Oh,
I wish I had half your energy.
I wish I did, too.
That's quite a compliment. I will humbly accept
I actually might have played a couple more years.
You like this all the time, even at home? I think you have really a spectacular personality.
I appreciate
I love
that,
just
man.
Listening to your voice as much as anything else.
Bob, you're the
Thank
best,
you, Bob.
Man. Merry
guys,
Christmas to you, pal. Thank you very much. I mean, I just love what I do. I mean, I don't know that I run around the house yelling about Brian Cashman to my wife and my son and my daughter, but I'm generally I'm an effusive type. I'm usually it's up.
It's a good thing he got to know you
muddy.
Locally here after you had kids.
Oh, man. That is true.
Married
is
and true. Kids.
This is the tame version.
That's what I'm saying.
This is the tame version. Dove, imagine working with me back in the day. Oh, my goodness. There were no rules. Thank God I was on a station where nobody could hear me. I couldn't get in trouble. Angelo's up in Newburgh. What's going on, Angelo? How are you?
What's up,
Good.
Angelo?
Bob has me about to tear up over here.
Bob's the man, man. Leave Bob alone.
Really nice.
We love him.
We
love
Bob.
I
like you guys, too, but I don't know about that much.
It's all good, dude.
Listen, coaching this year is so wacky. I've never seen coaches try to outthink such simple things.
Yeah.
Whether it's not going for field goals and they end up losing by two.
Yep.
Or it's not running the ball. And you guys said you didn't watch the game last night.
I watched up to the half, right before the half when Brady threw the interception.
So, you know, this is just a small, a lot of teams are doing this in the league. I've seen the Ravens do this. I've seen the Raiders. So there's just under 5 minutes left. They are on the 50. They run a play to the sideline. The running back goes out of bounds. Now it's 3rd and 1. They pass it. It's incomplete. And now they do a 10-yard punt, and they put the Bucs right in position to get where they were.
Yeah, to go win.
All this time. And you talked about Taysom Hill. All night they were running some goofy play where he was getting 2 yards up the middle. It was barely effective. But when it needed to be effective at 3rd and 1, when you should use that play,
right. You don't run it.
Use it.
Because you know why, Angelo? Because the Bucs would know it was coming. Bucs would know it was coming. Look, I got to read you something, Angelo, real quick, and I'll let you finish. My brother texted me this morning. He was like, I'm just telling you, and he's a Bucs guy, obviously, Rondé. He said that win last night for the Bucs is an indictment on the NFL. They need, and he's not joking, some serious conversation about how to prove the quality of this whole product. The NFL, the people that are paying a ton of money to watch and consume this, it's nonsense.
Mm.
The football that we've been watching this year,
it's been bad.
It has been horrendous.
Bad.
And the Thursday night games, forget it. Right?
I put the blame on a lot of these coaches, man.
Todd Bowles still stinks as a coach.
It's partly on the coaches, but it's also, something's like everybody's injured. Every week, somebody else goes down with a season ending injury.
Garoppolo, I can't fault coaches for that.
I'm not talking about coaches. I'm just talking about
the general state of the game.
I'm talking about the product. As a whole,
it's rough.
It is rough to watch.
We know what it is, too. His initial point was about the coaching, right? And I think, at least just specific to that, because the aesthetics and the injuries are different things, but the coaching is they are so paralyzed by data.
Mm-hmm.
When you know, think about this, guys, you're on the sideline, and they'll never admit this, but as something's unfolding, there's a part of their mind that's saying, all right, if I don't do this, the number says that, I'm going to get criticized, whether it's on the weekly call-in show, in the newspaper, on whatever. They compute these things, and they lose the feel of the game. And it's criminal. And really, I mean, the Jets have given us some incredibly entertaining games this year. The Giants, in terms of aesthetics, the Giants have had some ugly ones, but highly competitive.
Mm-hmm.
We're lucky. The NFL's been trashed this year.
I mean, you imagine being a Denver Broncos fan?
No. Where's that stat? I just lost it. I just saw it on Instagram, but hang on. Can I find this? Listen to this. Russell Wilson this season has fewer touchdown passes than Davis Mills, less passing yards than Jacoby Brissett, a lower completion percentage than Marcus Mariota. Ready for this one? This will hit home. A worse QBR than Zach Wilson, and fewer 300-yard games than Joe Flacco,
who played 4.
And obviously now Mike White.
Or 3.
Jeez,
or whatever.
I mean, it's wretched out there.
Wow. And he just got $49 million.
They broke him off. All right, Tiki and Tierney back on the Fan. We got Julian Love coming up in about 8 minutes or so here. Weekly conversation with the New York Giant as they try to pick up another dub this weekend. Obviously, a big game. So, listen, Tiki, before we get with Julian here, let's be fair because we hit this yesterday with Jacob DeGrom when he comes back to Queens as a visitor.
Mm-hmm.
And I was asking Hoff is actually out today, and I thought Hoff had an interesting take on it. I get it. You know, if I'm in that stadium and he's wearing the Rangers uniform, if he's even healthy, come when they come play this.
He will.
I got you. And what would I do? Like, as a big-time Mets fan, what would I do? And, you know, I think a lot of it depends on how the Mets season is going. Like, if they're winning and they go out there and, you know, Verlander is dealing and Scherzer is healthy and Alonso's mashing and the young kids are doing their thing and the Mets are in the thick of a wild card or divisional race, I think Mets fans will be a little bit more lenient in how they embrace him initially. Maybe give him a decent smattering of applause, and then he's the enemy, right? What happens with Judge on opening day?
I think Aaron Judge, let's assume he's not here, and we know where he could potentially be, which happens to be the team that they're playing in the first week of the season, first series of the season. If I'm Yankee fans, I think I have to cheer him. I have to cheer him loudly and give him credit because we know, because we've been talking about it, and if he ends up signing elsewhere, we know why he's signing elsewhere. It's not like, you know, the team's going to save face and, oh, he left us. It's more, you did the wrong thing. You disrespected him last year, and you didn't come correct with the offer this year. Therefore, he went elsewhere. So we cheer Aaron Judge, boo the Yankees. That's what I think is going to happen.
I think it depends on the type of offer the Yankees give if they're given a chance to match or exceed. Like, I think if...
But what if it's so low? What if it's...
From the Yankees, it's not going to be. This is where you and I fundamentally disagree. There is no way that the Yankees are coming with an embarrassingly low offer. No chance.
Well, I mean...
They'll rectify that.
Will they?
And if they don't, then you boo the Yankees on opening day and you cheer him.
That's right.
I guess to your point, right?
I think that's what's going to happen.
Oh my God.
If he leaves, that's why it's going to be that way.
Smack Talk on the Fan brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. Head to Buffalo Wild Wings for a bright, crisp, and easy drinking ale made for the bar and best enjoyed with wings and sports. And it's brewed by Goose Island, so you know it's good. So get to Buffalo Wild Wings and make your next draft a $3 tour wild hero Kolsch at participating locations for a limited time. Dine in only. Please drink responsibly. Listen, I don't know. You know, you're talking about what the Yankee fans are going to do. If the Yankees don't really come with the right offer and he leaves, I don't know if I could do the show from Yankee Stadium opening day. You might be by yourself, buddy. That might be my little protest.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could show up.
I mean, I'd show solidarity with you, even though you hate when I talk soccer.
I hate it. No, I just hate it when it gets in the way of what we're actually paid to talk about.
I'd show solidarity with you and not go as well. I'm not going to go sit out at...
Man,
Hard Rock by myself.
Now batting left fielder Aaron Hicks, third baseman Josh Donaldson. Oh goodness! And then Aaron Judge looking like a giant, like a jacked up giant in that black and orange, striding to home plate. I will tell you now, this is petty. I admit this.
Mm-hmm.
All right,
but it would be worth the protest. I think it would be.
It would be pretty ugly. That would be a landmark day at Yankee Stadium. Uh-huh. I don't know if there's ever been a bad opening day. Even when they were awful with Stump Merrill, the opening day was always fun.
That's interesting.
You know, get out the red, white, and blue bunting, introduce Don Mattingly with his broken down back, and hope that you win. Even then, there was hope. There was happiness on opening day.
When did the schedule come out?
Like 2 months ago. I might be off on that.
So it was well after like Major League Baseball knew that Judge was interested in potentially, like everybody knew that.
He hadn't signed a deal. Yeah,
but it's not like the other option was the Kansas City Royals or somebody. Well, so they kind of knew that the Giants. I wonder.
I think everything's done on purpose.
Of course,
I think everything's done on purpose.
Dude, that would ruin.
You think Deshaun Watson played against the Texans by what a coincidence! Yeah. Look who's on the schedule.
Hey, let's do an even number of suspended games.
Exactly,
10 sounds right. The 11th after the 12th week, you know, they play the Texans. So let's do 11.
Yeah,
so he comes back in Texas.
Yeah, we'll get that extra decimal rating point.
Exactly.
I'll tell you this, though.
And the Texans sucked the worst, but whatever.
Oh, that was awful. I will be incredibly petty about this part that I have not yet said. I think, now, again, I'm still on the record. It's not overwhelmingly. I'm going to say 60-40, 65-35-ish, 60-40, he stays here. Okay, Judge.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that.
If he leaves, right, you know how much it's going to bother me that even though I love the season that he gave us, when I look on Baseball Reference and it says single-season home run leader, and now the NYY is somewhat supplanted by an slash SFG,
yeah,
that's going to drive me crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Because now you knocked out a Yankee from the top of that cherished, you know, the one that really matters.
Yep.
And that's going to bother me.
Yeah. It's going to.
I really hope that doesn't happen.
Well, Marist left the Yankees.
It doesn't care.
Yeah.
It dove. Relax. It's not the same, buddy. You know that. It's not the same circumstances. Stop. Stop.
I don't know the circumstances that Marist left. What were the circumstances
he
that he left?
He didn't start here. He didn't finish here. I don't know contractually. I don't know the exact circumstances.
Yeah, I mean, I doubt it was. It wasn't this.
I don't think it was contentious. I don't really. I know he didn't love it here because the fans sided with Mickey, which I understand.
Mm-hmm.
Much like a lot of the, although, to be fair, the Maris Mantle thing was more Mantle's our guy, the golden boy, and Maris came from an outside organization.
Yeah.
I was going to actually reference the Winfield Mattingly batting crown, and I've read about. I actually talked to Dave Winfield about this as well. Not on the air one time, but a lengthy conversation off the air. I think a lot of that was born out of race. I just think that was.
Well, then,
I think the white fan was rooting for Donnie. I think the black fan was rooting for Dave Winfield to win the batting title.
That was 84. Yeah, of course. I mean, it was still, it's still lingering. Things were changing a little bit, but it was still lingering.
Winfield's such a class act too. I remember that conversation. He's like, man, he's like, Donnie, best teammate I ever had. He said it was tough on us, Michael. You felt it. You know, imagine being
and it
Dave.
Wasn't them. It was the fandom around it.
Oh, you know, they were tight.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. They were absolutely tight. Two pros. They played so hard. They respected the hell out of each other. You know, great players. Dave, obviously, in Cooperstown. Mattingly, who knows, 3 more years from now, gets another chance, probably doesn't get in, whatever. But the, you know, the dynamics in the city at that point, you know, and I was young, so I didn't process it through an eye of race.
Mm-hmm.
You don't look at it when you're, you know, 10 years old. You don't
even, it doesn't make sense
factor
to you.
In.
It doesn't
man.
Register.
You don't even know what it is.
Yeah.
It doesn't even compute. But it was tough on Dave Winfield, and I can only imagine being him, you know, coming from San Diego, getting the big contract, not playing well in the 81 World Series, the Yankees losing, getting lambasted by the owner, big contract, Mr. May, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, 50,000 fans rooting for Donnie.
Mm-hmm.
That's gotta be tough.
Yeah. And, you know, we had to.
That's got to be tough.
Especially then.
Yeah.
Especially then.
Mm-hmm. 877-337-6666 is our number. Let's get to...
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
How about Jimmy in West Harrison? What's up, Jim?
Hey, is this the Tierney Show with Tiki?
This is the Tiki Show with Tierney.
I mean,
that's what Tiki thinks.
I mean, I was like shocked. I was truly shocked the way you lambasted Tiki about talking about soccer.
All right. Well,
world sport.
Get over it, buddy. What do you want me to tell you?
I mean, it's a 50-50 show. Last time I looked.
Hey, Jim.
I mean, this
Jim,
is not
Jim,
the
Jim,
Boomer
Jim,
and Gio
Jim,
show.
Jim. This is Tiki speaking. Trust me, he wasn't really mad.
No, I was a little bit. I got to be honest. I was a little angered.
Yeah.
A little bit. No, I mean, not really.
Not lingering mad.
No, definitely not.
So, Boomer and Geo speculated, well, what happened in the
brain? Don't listen to those clowns. They'll start trouble with the Pope and the
well, I wonder what happened
and
in the break.
Rabbi, those two.
What happened in the break? Well, first of all, I'm like my brother and DGAF, right?
No.
And BT's probably worse.
No, listen.
So we don't care.
Jim, it was Verlander. I don't think I need to defend it. Tiki can have all the soccer space he wants in the world.
I'm a Mets fan from the beginning. I came here in 69 in this country. I lived across the street from Yankee Stadium. And I'm a Mets fan.
Gotcha.
And a Jets fan.
Okay.
But I'm also a soccer fan.
Yeah. Okay. There you go.
Opened up to the world.
Yeah. And you know what we do here?
Going live.
Jim, here's what we do
here. The soccer match is going live.
Soccer
is good. Talk about Verlander anytime.
It's not the United States, Jim.
Yes. It wasn't the U.S.
What do you want me to tell you, Jim? I mean, I'm not trying to be rude. It was Croatia and Japan. Verlander just signed for $100 gazillion. What are you talking about? I got to hang up on this guy.
By the way, it was.
Have you called in now? At the
end of the day, no. At the end of the day, blame Hoff. Blame Hoff, because it's always Hoff's fault.
Is it Hoff? That is one of the rules. When something goes awry, it's Hoff's fault.
Well, it really was Hoff's fault, because he was hemming and hawing, and I lost interest.
He was all over the map yesterday emotionally.
I don't blame the poor guy. Are you pissed off? Or are you happy
now? He was pissed.
But how can he be pissed
off
when you just signed Verlander?
That's
who cares? You signed Verlander.
Listen, guys like that.
I just want to say, I know.
That was my point. I'm with you. But guys like Evan and Hoff, you got to give him a little latitude to recalibrate emotionally when you lose.
He just lost me.
You might be dealing with me with Judge signs somewhere else. So let's not.
You might need to take the day off.
Yes, you might need to take the day off
and Judge go to San Francisco.
All right. They are back after a tie. Ugh. I mean, it was a weird one, man. It was competitive. And I think in a lot of ways they should have won. I think they probably felt like they should have. But they didn't lose, so I don't know how this was processed when they hit the tunnel and got in the locker room. Julian Love, our buddy from the Giants, back again every week here on the show. Julian, Tiki, and Tierney, how you doing there, buddy?
Doing well. How you guys?
We're good.
How did that feel? Man. I mean, I think I've only had – I don't think I've had any ties in my life, so because it was different, tie-breaking rules. But how did that feel?
Yeah, I mean, it felt weird, to say the least. Before I unpack that, what did he say? He said he was across the street from Yankee Stadium as a Mets fan. I heard he said he was a Jets fan. So I don't know what's going on. You should have been hung up on that.
Hey, listen. No. Hey, listen, Love. I mean, I'm a Jets fan. Take it easy, buddy.
Julian, he was defending me because we were watching Japan and Croatia.
No, not we. You were.
I was watching Japan
and
Croatia. And the goalie for Croatia stopped 3 of 4 penalty kicks. Which is like unprecedented. It was epic.
He sounds riveted. Julian's with me. Let's keep the train moving, right, buddy? This guy will digress into soccer if you give him an inch.
I'll be in a rabbit hole for a long time. So, anyway.
So seriously though, when you guys get in the locker room, I mean, we know Dave's. He's an emotional guy. We love it. He wears his heart on his sleeve. How did you guys unpack that? How did you process that? What is a team?
It was very weird. I've never been a part of that before. You kind of bust your ass for competitive atmosphere. I thought we did a lot of things right. The energy was great that day, and the game just ends, which is a tough scene. It just felt like, I don't know, anticlimactic almost. But then when you go back on tape, Davis was consistent. He wasn't super one way or the other, but the message was that, like, instead of this is what stuff that we did to win or this stuff that we didn't do to lose, it was like, this stuff we could have done to maybe swing the tides. And so you're searching for plays that really made the difference.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's face it. You play 60 minutes. I'm sure you've kind of gotten into the tape by now. Is that a game that you felt that you absolutely should have won? Do you think that you played better than those guys?
Yeah, I think in all of my years of playing football, I feel like the momentum, the juice, the energy, I feel like there's opportunities to win that game. We had the whole second half. I felt like, this is our game to win. And, there's moments we could have won up 14 instead of 7 and made it, put it a little bit out of reach. But, it was very weird. I felt like there's opportunities we definitely left out there.
Yeah, I know. And we'll, as fans, we'll point to the Feliciano penalty, which was nonsense, that backed the offense up and obviously ended up punting and then went down and scored, Washington did, and led to what ultimately became overtime. But, you talk about the takeaways every week. And I think Coach Dable does a great job at that. This is what you need to correct. This is what we did really well. The takeaway from this week is, as good as you guys have been at finishing, you can't get complacent about it, especially at this point in the season. We talked to you last week about this is really a playoff atmosphere. I mean, from here on out, it really is like every game's a playoff game for you all.
Yeah, no, it is. And really the message at least I was trying to convey and trying to lead the defense in was starting fast. And, you know, we didn't start the game fast, which we got to do better at. I think that's something that we were always doing well at first, you know, whatever games of the season. We didn't start the game as fast, but then we started the second half pretty fast. And so that's something you, like, build off of. Like, okay, we got that kind of flow going again. Our third down numbers on defense were down, which that's the staple of who we've been.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's some things that I really needed to see from us, like trying to just encourage and have some good juice, some good energy to show. And so, like, you leave off on kind of a promising note, even though you don't get the win. It's like, all right, we got back to who we were. Now we just got to make those freaking plays that just win the game for us.
Yeah, you do. And it starts this weekend against the Philadelphia Eagles, who have just found so ways to win. I mean, they've had one lapse, and that was it all season long. As you think about attacking what Jalen Hurts brings and, you know, the A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, like, how do you get your mind around slowing down what they've been able to do all season long? And is there anything that you key on with the Eagles that we could see?
Yeah, it's you know, it's a challenge playing these guys because they run a college-style offense. And, you know, with Hurts and his run ability, but also you have guys like A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, guys who are just game wreckers in their own right. And so it's a challenge. And really, this game is going to be about guys winning their matchups. It's going to be our front being dominant, getting some penetration, and disrupting their run game. And it's going to be on our DBs to step up and really just play together and create takeaways. I think when you saw the game that they lost, that's what the story was. Washington forced takeaways. And so that's what we're going to have to do to win this game.
Listen, that all makes sense. I think you guys really need, of all the weeks, that you guys really need your running attack offensively to come through and crank out yards and keep that clock bleeding, keep that offense off
no
the
doubt.
Field. That to me, that's the key right there, Julian.
No doubt. That's kind of how, you know, I watch college ball. I'm a Notre Dame guy, but that's kind of how I think the Michigan team that just made the playoffs, that's kind of how they operate there when they're at their best. That's what they do. And so to see that kind of old school blue blood football is what we need to get to. Like you said, we got to keep that offense off the field. And, you know, I believe in our O, we're getting some guys back, some old linemen back. And so, yeah, Saquon is going to need to have a day.
Yeah, and Daniel Jones as well. He was really good last week. You know, fumble aside, he was really good at running with the ball as well. You know, let me take you aside for a second, because it's now at that point where it's playoff time, right? And you have the Eagles and you have Washington, and I'm wondering, as you guys start to get a little bit healthier, the feeling that I used to espouse about this Giants team week 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 or so is, all right, just build culture, man. It's all about, you know, doing the little things. We're building for next year. When did that go away, and when are you – no, let's live for right now.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, you kind of got to think of it short term, but
yeah.
I mean, you're kidding yourself if you're not, you know, thinking about the long-term success of this team. And what it has been in the history of the Giants has been just tough football. Tough smash, like, just basically it's reminiscent, or not reminiscent, it's complimentary of the community. It's just a tough smash mouth team, and that's what, at our core, we have to be. And, you know, obviously, like, you know, nowadays with the game, you got to be able to air the ball out. You got to be able to play a little bit of finesse game as well. And that's something we have to maintain. Like, yeah, play a little things, but also big plays help. And, you know, those flashy things sometimes are needed. And so as we build this thing, yeah, you want to have a one-week-at-a-time mindset, but you also want to, you know, I know Shane and Daboll are building for what we want to be in these next few years as well.
Yeah, you're a human being. I mean, you could still be immersed in the task at hand and not trip over thinking about the future here and there. You guys are smart enough to compartmentalize that. I get it. You know, and it's funny, you talk about the history of the Giants and the NFC East and the battles and all the different iterations, and every generation of Giants have had different rivalries that are hotter. Like, sometimes it's the Dallas Giants that's white hot. Sometimes it's Giants Philly. Sometimes it's Washington Giants. In your, you've been around a couple of years now, mostly down years outside of this. To you, who's your biggest rival in the division?
I mean, that's so tough to say. I would say, like you said, the white hot. The hate is there probably most with Dallas.
Okay.
But Philly doesn't follow too far behind. In the past few years, you know, the record might not show up, but since I've been here, the games have always been kind of close. Where we've had a lead late in the game and we just haven't finished the job against Philly. And so it's rivalry where I kind of got that hate.
Yeah.
And that I set the swagger, set the chip on my shoulder because I don't like, you know, it's city by city. I'm a New York guy now, and so I don't vibe with what they got going on over there. And
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think those two probably are at the top right now. And then Washington, you know, in their own right, you know, you don't like them as well, but I think the other two teams are a little more.
Look at you carving out that territoriality. No, you're saying this is my city.
Yeah, I think it's different for everybody. I
love it.
Like, for me, it was Cowboys because I was at the time Redskins fan, now Commanders, but I was a Redskins fan growing up, so the Cowboys were the hated team. And then I went to the Giants, so it was still the Cowboys. And then the Redskins, because they didn't draft me. It's different. It's different for every guy. But you find your motivation in that. And so as you think about this weekend and the Eagles, the motivation is clearly there. One, because you hate them. But two, it's like they're the king of the hill, right? You have to knock them off in order to get to where you want to be, both now and then ultimately at the end of the season.
No, without a doubt. I mean, they're the – right now, many could see them as the best team in the league. And so, yeah, you're really pissed off at that because they're in your division and you want to make a statement. And so, you know, we're going to come out and we're going to fight the way we always do. And, yeah, we're going to play with swagger and energy because this is a division opponent. Yeah, they may be beating these other teams, but we have to make a mark on them ourselves.
Yep.
So that's what it is. And like you said, like every year you kind of have that chip on your shoulder for that top team. You know, some years it may be, you know, Dallas. Some, you know, in the past it might have been Washington. And, you know, now right now it's Philly. And so, yeah, all eyes are on them ready to attack because we're going to need to.
You know, I have one for you. It's kind of a bigger picture thing. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, everybody loves Daboll's energy and his fire. And he's a human being. He's not one of these pre-programmed robots that just spits out numbers that drives us crazy. I can't stand that. I need a human being. Sure. Especially for a sport like football, but he is very, very intense. Can you be that kind of coach in the NFL like that on a week to week basis? And I'm sure he's very similar in practice for 10 years, 12 years, or is there a shelf life on that kind of energy?
That's a good question. I'm not sure. I would imagine like at some point you're like, all right, I got to chill out. Just you know, I'm getting up there in age, but for him, I don't know. He has that passion and he shows that fire. He gets, you know, really, really competitive. But for me, it's never really anything, you know, more than that. Like, I know him as the jokester still. And so when you have that image of him, like when he's fired up, you're like, okay, like he's just yelling right now. He's compassionate. He wants to win. It's for a common good. I feel like that's how most of us feel. And so, you know, I feel like from a morale perspective, we can deal with that for, you know, a long time. For him, you know, I don't know, maybe he'll need to, you know, to work on the food he's eating or something like that.
I love it. Hey, gotcha. Hey, Julian, we saw that you're lobbying and people should vote for you for the Pro Bowl. You deserve it, dude.
Yep.
85 snaps you had defensively yesterday. Oh, and by the way, you played 20 snaps of special teams as well. So, I mean, you're grinding, man, and it's a testament that we have you on every week. You speak so perfectly about the issues going on in the locker room, and you're honest, and we just want to say we appreciate you, and good luck with the Pro Bowl voting. So all you Giant fans out there, go find the way and vote for Julian for the Pro Bowl. He deserves it.
Well said. Well said, buddy.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Julian.
You got it. Great ambassador for the team, man. We appreciate you, Julian. We'll get you next week. There he is, Julian Love, right here on the Fan, Tiki, and Tierney Show. All right, Tiki, we can react to that. Also coming up, we're going all in at noon, 12:40, Guy Thing, Not a Guy Thing, the Judge Watch as well. Time for an Odyssey Sports Minute. It's brought to you by Winters Bros. For help with your next cleanup or construction project, visit wintersbros.com. Here's DA. All right, it's 11:51 on the Fans. Tiki and Tierney here. Do a little juggle. Got to like Julian Love. You're a Giants fan. You'd like hearing him talk about your team. He is, I think that is a very well articulated pulse of what is going on with the G-Man, huh, Tiki?
Yeah, no doubt about it. He's always been we knew this when the first time you met him. He just has his He's a gamer, first of all, because he's made a lot of plays. Leads the team in interceptions, I think. They only have like four or five on the season, I think, as a team. He's got two of them, but he's just a leader and playmaker, and that's what you need when you're a team that has a coordinator who wants to try to create plays.
Yeah, he's been a challenge for me because, you know, I like some of those sparks. I like to get after things here. But, I mean, you know, they're overachieving for the most part. For the most part, they're doing things the right way. I can't quibble too much.
Yeah, I mean, I said this when I was talking about his Pro Bowl. So he played 100% of the defensive snaps, which he's done every game except for Chicago when he got the concussion.
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
Every game he's played 100% of the defensive snaps. Now, that's usually not a ton, but the last weekend it was 85 snaps. Just for context, it's usually about 65 or 70 snaps you play as an offense and a defense. That's just the number of possessions, right, and snaps. 85 snaps, and then 20 snaps as
special.
A special team, which was 59%. I mean, dude, he doesn't leave the field.
No, he doesn't. He's a good player. He is a good player. 877-337-6666. How about let us get Charlie, who's in Bayside. Charlie is on the Fantiki and Tierney Show. What's up, Chuck?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hey.
What's up?
How are you?
Good. Good. It looks like they're going to extend Daniel Jones even short term. Tiki, you were talking yesterday. They need a big time wide receiver. Would you trade a number one for T. Higgins if possible?
T. Higgins, yeah, maybe, but I doubt. I mean, the problem is this upcoming draft, just like every draft in the NFL, is going to have three or four wide receivers that you can get. I'm going to go, I don't know their names off the top of my head, but there's always that one or two of those guys. And so if you need other, like, if you need other things you need to address, you just can't give up a first rounder for an existing wide receiver. So I'd probably say no, but I could see if they wanted to. If it was somebody else, maybe. T. Higgins, I'm not sure about T. Higgins.
Right. What's your opinion of Anthony Richardson? He declared for the draft.
Mm-hmm.
He seems like he has the skill set like the Giants would be. I know they've been scouting him.
Yeah.
They've gone to a couple of games out there. What's your opinion of him?
Yeah, I mean, I like him. I think he's really unpolished as a thrower, and so I would just worry about a Giants team that seems like it's getting on the verge of being playoff viable, kind of like the Jets are. If they get some talent, offensive talent, I would worry that it would stunt some of the offensive growth that the Giants have had, especially as they get healthy and bring in some more skill position talent. I don't know. I don't love rookie quarterbacks. And I don't think the Giants are, unless it's C.J. Stroud, I don't think the Giants should risk going and getting a project for quarterback, especially if Daniel Jones, who's still young,
mm-hmm.
can be that guy.
I agree with you, but let me give you a counter here. Because their talent base is relatively low on offense, wouldn't this be the time to get a young quarterback? So it all kind of grows together?
No, because if you get – so I'm. Let's assume they sign Saquon, which
mm-hmm.
I think they will,
mm-hmm.
right? And they're going to draft probably another lineman. And so you're going to have some depth offensively. Evan Neal evolves. Andrew Thomas is a stud. So very quickly, Bellinger's can evolve over the next year into one of the top tight ends in the NFC, right? I hate to say it because nobody ever is a player or two away, but I think the Giants are like a player or two away, skill position, wide receiver, from being a really talented offense. And so if they draft well.
Oh, that seems a little ambitious. I'm not trying to rain on the parade. That seems a little ambitious for me. They got nothing.
Yeah, but I don't think that Brian Daboll.
A player or two away?
Skill position
no,
player.
No, I know.
Yeah. I mean, think about the lack of separation. I don't know if you've done this as much as I have.
Go ahead.
Like, I go back and I watch these games, and I'm like, all right, where should Daniel Jones throw this football?
No, I don't do that. I'd be lying if I said it.
So I do that, and it's just like, okay, he's not open. He doesn't.
You can just see it watching the telecast.
That's right.
Nobody's
so,
open.
That's right.
No,
so
I
it's
get
just
that.
Like, if you got someone who knew how to get separation, if you got someone who knew how to come downhill to make a catch, to make a play, instead of just sitting there waiting for it, Daniel Jones is going to get me the ball. No, no, no. Make myself available to Daniel Jones so he can get me the football. And then after I catch it, I'm crapping on this dude, and I'm going an extra 10 yards or hitting my head on the goalpost, right, or scoring. The Giants don't have that guy. Like, if you get that player and then you accent it with, some of these other, whoever, these guys that just kind of overwork themselves, you know what I mean, overachieve. I think the Giants can get really effective offensively pretty quickly. I know it doesn't feel that way, mm-hmm. but this offense isn't far away from being pretty good.
All right. 877-337-6666. Tiki and Tierney Show on the Fan. Coming up, we're going all in 5 minutes. Guy thing, not a guy thing as well. Who's hot in football? Brought to you by Petro Home Services. Devontae Adams is hot as he holds an 8 for $177 and 2 touchdowns in the win over L.A. on Sunday. Switch to Petro Home Services now. Get $125 free heating oil or propane. 1-888-PETRO-02. That's 1-888-PETROZERO2 or visit petro.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.